Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah. Adrian, in the building. Shout out to Bree.
What up, Bree?
And we finna go in. Look,
yes, sir.
Look. We came to break down a few topics here. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. It's positive, uplifting, and honest here. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See, Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn in the building. All the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging echoes, so if you ain't fragile, through the net connection, we streaming you the message. So welcome to the life of Bree, breaking down relationships to the third degree.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life, how we live in life. From politics to the current events, economics and race, whether you're poor or you're rich.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life, how we live in life.
Coming to you live and streaming to all four points of the globe. It's your girl, Brooklyn born and Crown Heights raised. Living life and breathing life. It's Bree, baby.
Welcome all. This is your host for tonight, Mark Said It. Our sister Bree is kind of on hiatus. She had some unfortunate circumstances that came about, so I'm going to be riding solo tonight, folks. This is the Bree Live Radio Show, and you might be wondering why you heard the music after the Love Is Gone started at the beginning of the show. Well, the main reason that is because tonight's show, we're delving into a topic that really has caught my interest. And that topic is about marriages breaking up, divorce rates skyrocketing for a certain sector of our population. And that population is the 40-plus club. You know, the 40-plus club seems to be the one that's susceptible to the highest rate of an increase of divorce. So the general population, the divorce rate has stabilized. But for those who find themselves part of the 40-plus club, the rates have doubled in recent years. So tonight we're going to be discussing the divorce and when marriage is a bust after 40-plus on the Bree Live Radio Show. And for all those out here that's listening, first-time listeners, we want to thank everybody. You can call in at 424-220-1862, and you can catch us also online on the Blog Talk Radio Network at www.blogtalk.com/BRILIFB. Again, when marriage is a bust after 40 plus, you know, I was thinking about this because I've been finding a lot of information has been popping up that's talking about the baby boomers. And it's actually even talking more specifically about those who are over the age of 50. And they're talking about people that have been married for 37, 40 years. I don't know, a long time, people, a long time. And they're seeming to part ways, which is totally opposite to what we have been known to experience in our society here in America over the last 50 or so years. That was something that definitely wasn't par for the course, if you will. So people are making choices, life choices, to move in different directions, and that sometimes does not mean happily ever after. So as I said in a commercial that I put together, I said, you know, instead of happily ever after, we are confronted with how to be happy after the love is gone. Hence, our intro music for today. So, again, we'll be discussing tonight on the Bree Life Radio Show, When Marriage is a Bust, After 40 Plus. And again, and I'll say this again for everybody that's listening. I know you're out there listening. The number is 424-220-1862. That's 424-220-1862. And you can find us on the Blog Talk Radio Network at www.blogtalk.com/BRILIFE. I'm just going to read a little bit of an article that I read that appeared on CNN's website. And it starts out something like this. It says, it wasn't easy for 59-year-old Margie White to ask her husband Dick for a divorce after 37 years. It really was the most courageous thing I had to do, she said. The couple met in college and married young. They settled down in a rambling split-level house in the leafy suburbs of Northern Virginia and raised two sons, now grown, but they struggled over the years to communicate and connect. They say they slowly grew apart. I'm going to pause right there because that is one of the biggest catch or key phrases that you hear in almost all of these relationships is they grew apart. Now, you got to wonder because 37 years of marriage, I mean, wow, that's a long time, people, a long time. But the article continues and it says, when one son and his wife had a child, Margie spent more than 8 months living in Pennsylvania helping out with the baby. It was during her time there that she realized how much she preferred living on her own. We really did struggle, she said. We gave it all our best shot. We really tried. We were no strangers to marriage counseling when it came to that and individual counseling, but there just wasn't the glue to hold it together anymore. And then, you know, Dick agreed. It was always sort of lurking in the background there. He said, when Margie put it on the table, it just seemed like, okay, yeah, we really should do this, and let's try to do it right. The White story is part of a larger trend. Even as divorce rates for the general population have stabilized over the past several decades, they are on the rise among baby boomers. Divorce rates amongst couples over 50 have doubled in the last 20 years, according to a study by Bowling Green State University. In 1990, fewer than 1 in 10 people who divorced were older than 50. In 2009, that figure was 1 in 4. Using data from the federal government 2009 American Community Survey, the study also looked at the demographics of divorce. Now, here is something that's really interesting, folks. The demographics of divorce and found that rates for those over 50 were highest among black couples and lowest among white couples. Hispanics fell in the middle. Older adults who divorced also tended to be less educated than those who remained married. The authors identified several factors that could explain the rising rates, from longer lifespans to changing marital biographies of many baby boomers. They found the divorce rate for those who were in their second or third marriage was 2.5 times higher than for those in their first marriages. And, you know, it goes on, and it talks more about specifically the white's situation, their particular situation. But again, you know, the thing that really hit me the most about this was they said about the black folks, y'all, that we seem to be walking away from love more so when we get into our late 40s and 50s than people of other races. However, that doesn't exempt them, and they are also parting ways more so. So I find this interesting because some people that I have talked to in the past have suggested, you know, these young folks don't value marriage no more. That's what I hear a lot of. And we've had people on this show, older folks, talk about how young folks won't stay together. They just can't seem to keep it together. You know, and these statistics suggest, wow, is it the pot calling the kettle black? I mean, are the older people able to keep it together? And these studies would suggest that they can't. Not only is that the case, your host, along with other people who have called in, are in that age group. And your host can attest to the fact that, yes, indeed, keeping a relationship together after 40 is not the easiest thing. Because I am a, what can I say? I'm one of those statistics. I am one of those statistics, folks. I am a divorcee. And my divorce happened after I was 40. I have grown kids as well. And those, and this divorce also happened after the kids were grown. So talking to more and more people, I'm finding, hey, this is a very common occurrence. Also, if you would check out some of the dating sites. Now, they have dating sites that are dedicated to people in our age group, the 40-plus age group. However, for those who choose not to want to go on those sites, go on your regular run-of-the-mill site and then make a query. Do a search for people 50, let's say 45-plus. You're not going to find a shortage, people. You're not going to find a shortage. You're going to find a lot of people out there in that demographic, in that age group, that are looking for a relationship or for love. I was in a conversation the other day with a young lady, and she said this to me. She said, Mark, do you plan on getting married again? And, you know, anybody knows me knows that, you know, when you say something to me, I listen to the specific things that you said. And she said, do you plan on getting married again? And my response was no. Now, she said after that, no, you don't, so you don't want to get married again? And I said, no, I didn't say I didn't want to get married again. I said I didn't plan on getting married again. But when I look at these numbers, I'm walking into murky waters, folks. I'm treading in murky, murky waters. Why? Because they say I have a higher chance of not staying married the second time than I did the first time. So not only are we breaking up, but we're trying to get married again, and it just ain't working, folks. It just ain't working. So I don't know if it's just me or, you know, if the statistics are, you know, because some people don't believe in statistics. They say, yeah, yeah, statistics, statistics, you know, whatever. Who cares about statistics? You know, I mean, really, everybody can make a statistic work for them. So, sure, I'm sure there's statistics out there that will prove otherwise. Well, whether that be the case or not, one thing I do know, there are a lot of single people. The singlehood of 40 plus is real full, real robust. It's a lot of people in that space, folks. So, again, tonight we're going to be discussing this whole thing. And one of the issues that I want to really talk about is, what do you out there think about remarriage? What do you think about getting married again at our ages? You know, something else, and I'm going to talk about it after we come back from this commercial break, but something else someone mentioned to me. They were talking about the whole concept of, you know, caretaking. And one young lady mentioned to me something that was really interesting. And I'm going to tell you all exactly what she said to me when I come back. You listen to the Be Life Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio.
It is very common to hear people use the phrase, I'm going to be me, 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 me. I'm not changing
for anybody.
And they use that phrase a lot of times to suggest that nothing's wrong with them and they're fine with being who they are. But here's a question. What happens when being you leaves you with only you? You know, like you're acting the way you act and people leave the room.
You lose two or three friends at a time.
You talk to the mirror more than you talk to your best friend.
You take long walks in the park holding your own hand.
My suggestion is don't change. Don't change.
Don't change.
Because, after all, you like being you. Now, here's some problems with being you. Not considering you may end up walking through the room holding your own hand by yourself. But that's okay, because guess what? You're still being you. So, if you're liking it, I'm loving it. And remember, don't stop being you.
Don't you change, baby.
Not for anybody. Even yourself. This has been Mark Said It in Under a Minute.
How could you leave me?
Well, we're back, folks. This is the Be Life Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. And this is your host for today, Mark Sedit, and also known as Mark from Houston, Texas. Oh, and by the way, Houston, Texas. Hey, do you all realize we set a record yesterday? 105 degrees down there, and today was 101. Unbelievable. And that's not the heat index, folks. We don't even talk about the heat index. Heat index was off the chain. But again, this is the Bree Life Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. Our phone number is 424-220-1862, and you can catch us on Blog Talk Radio at www.blogtalkradio.com/BRILIFE. Well, again, we're talking about when marriage is a bust after 40-plus. So as I was saying before I left off, a young lady had a conversation with me, and she was telling me this. She said, you know, she was talking to a young man and or man or however the age he is, whatever the case may be, and the issue of sex came up, and the issue of his ability or the whole issue of performing came up. And one of the big issues that she was telling me that was her concern was that she was like, Mark, what I'm going to do? If he has a lot of, you know, various issues and concerns, and again, being black people and black men in general, we have concerns like high blood pressure, cholesterol, prostate problems, all kind of little erectile dysfunction stuff, you know, you name it. So, and it's more likely to attack us in this age group that we're in. So this woman went on to say, Mark, I don't want to have to be taken care of. Nobody. So what happens if I marry this guy and he's got all these problems? You know, the traditional vows say, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health. So that was interesting because another article that I read said this. It said that the number one caretaker for people over the age of 50 when it comes to if they're sick or whatever is usually a significant other or a spouse. So here's the question. If that's the case, wow, as one of my good friends always said, wow. If this is the case, then that means that we have some serious issues to confront because now if we're divorcing and we're single, that means a lot of us, men and women alike, are living alone. And it's kind of like you remember those commercials about, I've fallen and I can't get up. You remember them commercials, y'all? Well, that's an interesting question, because what happens if you fall on the floor at 12 o'clock and you know your significant other will be home around 4? At least you got to hope that they'll come. What happens when you're all alone? Now, I ain't trying to scare nobody out there, but that is quite an interesting thing, considering that the majority of the caretakers are people who you're married to or your significant others. Well, what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to take my first caller, calling from 312-909. You're on the Bree Life Radio Network, and this is Mark Fittett, and who I have the pleasure of talking to today.
You talking to Miss Cashmere?
Miss Cashmere. Well, welcome to the Bree Life Radio Show. Miss Cashmere, is this your first time calling in?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, you know what the topic is for today. Today's topic is when marriage is a bust after 40 plus. So what you feel about this?
I will never, ever, 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 ever do it again. It's a bust, it's over. Leave it alone. 3 strikes and you're out.
Okay, so you won't get married again. But you also got to know that the marriages and relationships, anyway, we're taking on different forms. You know, you got a lot of gay folks that are pushing the whole issue of, you know, what do they call that stuff that they do? Legal partnerships or legal whatever it is. So even if you don't marry somebody.
Whoa, you ain't saying nothing about gay.
No, I ain't talking about you. I ain't talking about a person being gay. I'm saying legal unions. What about being with somebody and not marrying them, but being in a committed relationship where you all are sharing various responsibilities? What about those?
Yeah, that's about all you can ask for right now.
So that's all we can ask for right now. So
in today's society, all the Don't get mad. All the good men are gone. Nobody believes in their vows. They say it. But in a week or two or at the wedding reception, they are already grinning at somebody else. Or like in soul food, the grandma said, the sister said, you better go out there and get your man. Somebody is already on them. Don't even let you get to the honeymoon yet. So, you know, you the odds are stacked up against you.
Wow. Wow. You know what I have to say to that?
Hey, ha, say
yeah. Oh, it's okay now.
Yes. I said it. Mark said it. All sookie now. Are you for real? I mean, for real, this is
yeah.
All we can expect. This is all we can expect now.
Well, I mean, you have a few people out there that really take their vows serious, but a lot of people don't realize whatever you do to get that person, that's what you got to do to keep them. And you got to be on the lookout for prowess. His and hers. You know what I'm saying? Because your neighbor see what time you go to work. Like, yeah, I like her man. Yeah, wait till she leave. I'll catch her slipping. It's on. You got a lot of women like that, and you got a lot of men like that. That you know, so supposed to be trusting, honor thy neighbor. Then you know that ain't happening. You better stay off my grass. That's what you better do. Quit looking at my
mm-hmm.
woman. Turn that music down.
Well, so you mentioned something. You said, and again, I know you said you weren't trying to jump on men, but you said that as soon as you get into the relationship, I mean, can't even, your vows are not even complete. You said he's out there looking at another skirt.
Yeah.
You really believe that? You really believe that?
Know it. See it all the time. You go to the wedding. As soon as it's time to do the electric slide, why, hey, boogie, hey, you can just watch the groom. Bam, bust it.
They already gone. Already
hey,
gone.
Man.
But does that mean that he don't want to be in a marriage just because he's looking?
When you at your wedding, you supposed to be looking at the bride and all that money that's on her finger and that big ass wedding cake that y'all wasted all this money on.
Oh my goodness, that's something else. So
a wedding is a waste. Take that money and go to the Bahamas with it.
Marriage is a waste.
I said the wedding is a waste.
But you don't believe marriage is a waste.
No, I think the marriage is not a waste. It's about two people making a commitment to each other. You're not marrying the people that's there. They just witnesses. You can go to City Hall, say them same vows, and come back and say, yeah, y'all, we did it. Y'all should have been there. It was good. All right. And take all that money. Them people going to throw them napkins and stuff away. They're not going to keep that stuff after the wedding. I just threw away some of my family stuff recently.
Wow.
You know,
well,
a lot is put into that wedding for somebody else. The all them people that's not going to be in the house with you when she won't cook. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
You ain't inviting them to come see that. You know?
No.
When it's divorce time, y'all don't invite all them people and say what y'all think, who right, who wrong. Same way you ask them to come witness, you put it together. Ask somebody about that before you tear it apart.
Mm.
What happened to
that?
That's how they do it in Africa. That's how they do it. You can't get no divorce. The whole town got to hear it. It's like a trial. And they decide, the judge and the jury, or the Indian chief or the tribal chief decide who get what and if y'all can divorce or not. And better not nobody else in the land mess with her either, because that's Jimmy Jones, Sufu Kaka girl. We need some of them kind of rules over here.
Well, you know what? I have someone else that has just appeared in the caller queue, and we want to hear what they have to say. Calling from 612-306. 612-306, you're calling the Breed Life Radio Show. This is Mark Sedden.
Well, hello, everybody. Nothing's going on. It's nice weather here in Minnesota today. Can't complain. But I just wanted to piggyback off what she said, because if you listen to what Chris Rock said, he said, when you get married, when you throw that bouquet, you throw away the coochie. You get throw away everything, all the sex you gonna get. So you might, what's the point? What is the point?
Yeah, you just threw away your meat with your option in the back. You just threw away
everything. So,
well, you know, that's interesting, because I'm thinking again, and this whole article that I was reading is pushing forth this whole issue of divorce, though. Why are so many people in our age group, folks, saying, forget it, after years? I'm not talking about no 5-year marriage. I ain't talking about 7 years of bad luck with a 7-year itch. I'm talking about 37, 40, 30, 25 years.
And well, your last topic was about settling, wasn't it?
Thinking about, wow, I done gave and wasted enough of my time with this old goat. Stella might want to get a groove on. Stella might need to get a groove on. This little young boy at the grocery store that been carrying these groceries out to the car that I already told her, hey, Stella.
But you know what? Wait a minute.
Check it out.
Let me interrupt y'all real quick and say this.
Oh, hell no.
No, you know hell yeah. Because you men do it before we do it. Because y'all going to get them little young chicken-head girls and y'all leave y'all wives that y'all been with for 30 or 40 years. Come on now.
But they don't know. Them young boys, they want cougars now. They don't want no booty-shaking young girls. And they'll tell you that in a heartbeat. When they fight with me, I'll say, you know, listen, how old are you? They might say, I'm 30. I got a son of your age. He's like, and what that mean? Well, it means you, I'm old enough to be your mother. And what that mean? I'll rock your world. Oh, really? All right. And then when you get a hold to him, she don't want in the bed.
And then Mark, you said you're a divorcee, so you got young, you got married at kind of what, 20, 22?
24. Right,
you don't even know yourself. You're fresh out of college. You don't even know who you are technically. So I think sometimes you just do it too young, where you just don't even know about yourself enough to know if you want to incorporate another human being into your life.
Right.
Well, you know what I'm going to do? What I'm going to do is, on that note, I'm going to take a commercial, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about this whole thing of getting married early and why this might be one of the indicators of divorce in the 40s. You're listening to the Bree Life Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio.
In 1 second of 1 minute, it only takes one word, one gesture, one story, one idea, one hug, one kiss, one smile, one hand, one look, one touch, one dream.
Everybody got a dream.
One gift. And one person to do one of these things to make one difference. Oh, yeah. Before I go,
One thought.
Will you be the one to do at least one of these things? Today's segment has been brought to you by the number.
One.
It's been Mark Said It in under
1 minute.
I love you.
what used to be happy was sad. My goodness. You're on the Bree Life Radio Show. This is Mark Sedick, and I'm sitting in for our host, Bree, who's on a little break right now. You know, she's dealing with some issues right now at home that she needs to take care of. So, you know, I'm happy to sit in for her. The phone number here is 424-220-1862, and you can get us online at www.blogtalkradio.com/BRILIFE. Today's show is discussing when marriage is a bust after 40 plus. What do you do when marriage is a bust after 40 plus? And when we left off, we had the caller from the 612 say to me, "So Mark, you got married at a young age," and when she said that, or like when we, and she was suggesting that, if I'm correct, that we're just trying to figure out who we are at that age. So, but here's my question about that. If divorces are so high at 40 because of marriages that have taken place for, you know, 20, 30 years, what about the other statistic? And the other statistics say that we have a very high rate of divorcing again when we remarry after we've been married at a younger age. So now we're talking about people that are divorcing when they're in their 50s. What about that? That doesn't explain for young age.
Okay, say it again. They divorced, so they...
The rate is...
They got remarried, you said?
Right. Well, let me tell you what I actually read. And it says that the authors identified several factors that could explain the rising rates, from longer lifespans to the changing marital biographies of many baby boomers. They found that the divorce rate for those who were in their second or third marriages was 2.5 times higher than those for the first marriage. Now, mind you, these second and third marriages are taking place in your late, in your middle of the late 40s and 50s. They're not lasting either. So what's the reason?
Well,
what's the reason for that?
What I would say is you tried it when you were younger. It didn't work. Then you had the nerve to try it again when you got older. And you're already set in your ways, and so is he. And it didn't work.
Well, I mean, wait a minute, though. But you chose to marry him the second guy, the second time, or the third time. So it had to be something you saw in him that you thought would make this a situation that would work better than that last one when you were young and dumb.
Maybe it was his pocket. So I'll get a divorce this time, I'd be left financially set. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying.
Wow. Well,
because technically, I got married when I was young. It lasted for technically a year and a half, and I choose never, ever to do it again because I don't know, like she said, maybe we need some of those rules that Africa got. I don't know. But in America, that stuff don't work over here.
Let me tell you, and what happens is I got married at 16, and my problem is I was totally naive, just dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And this dude was so possessive and controlling. He controlled the checkbook. He controlled, and he was in the military, and he brought his job home with him. And I was so naive, I signed the income tax refund papers every year, 3 or 4 years, never knew that a refund was a check that actually...
Big time.
So he signed my name on this piece of document, and I think that just tells the government how much we spent or paid in taxes. I had no idea that a refund is money.
You know,
I don't know what interest is. That's how not even dumb. You a child getting married, it's got a lot of consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? Having said that, I got a caller that's calling in also from the 612. It's 612-237. I would like to hear what they have to say, and maybe it's a male that might want to add some testosterone to the conversation. This is the Bree Life Radio Show. This is Mark Sedick. This is 612-237. Caller, 612-237.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
I can hear you well, too.
Excellent, excellent. Hey, Dr. Momo Jumbo
here. And
it's
some testosterone.
Hey, y'all, it's Dr. Mumbo Jumbo. Dr. Mumbo Jumbo. This is the guy, right?
Dr.
I'm so glad Mumbo Jumbo called
Jumbo.
In. Dr.
Well,
Mumbo Jumbo.
I got a request.
It's the one and only.
Could you use your lips today?
Could I use my lips today?
Could you use your lips today? You know, they say people mumble because they don't use their lips. So use your lips today, dog.
Oh, use my, I'm not Dr. Mumble Jumbo.
Oh,
Dr. Mumble Jumbo.
Mumble, not mumbling. He's not mumbling.
Not
he's mumble, but that's all mumble.
Like the dad? What does that mean? I don't know then.
Okay, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. So, Doctor, you've been listening to this conversation. What do you have to say about this whole trend of a lot of people in their 40s getting divorces?
Well, I think that I got actually have most of my mumbo-jumbo on relationships, romantic relationships, is on dating and not marriage, primarily for this specific reason. I think historically, traditionally, marriage has always been an economic business arrangement, and that's how people sort of got into marriage. And the reason that people stayed in marriages in the past were for business economic reasons, whether it was agrarian, hunting, fishing, you know, having the children, just so they could survive economically. But now that we've gotten into the industrial age and post-industrial age, especially in our culture with women being able to take care of themselves economically without needing a man or a marriage to do that, the business reasons for staying married, the historical traditional business reasons for staying married just aren't adhered to anymore. For example, I don't believe people stay together in a marriage for economic reasons anymore. I don't even think they stay together for child rearing anymore because people are very comfortable. There's no social stigma with being a divorced or a separate parent. And I don't even think people stay together for cultural reasons anymore, especially in our community because we have so much of our culture has been lost, like the sister was saying about what they do in Africa and stuff like that. You know, our culture, our community, we've gotten so disconnected from each other. And I think the only reason, I even include religion. Because Christians are just as much apt to get divorced as anybody else. The divorce rates are just as high. So
yeah.
I think that the only reason that people stay together now in a marriage is because they're having fun. And if they're not having fun and they're not enjoying themselves, it's like somebody else said earlier, they think that life is too short and they're tired of the old goat or they're tired of this and they're tired of that. And people are going to go. They're going to go out. And they're going to try to enjoy themselves as much as possible because that's sort of that individual value is the culture that we sort of created and inherited. And the values of a culture of community and sort of passing things down, we don't really have that. That just doesn't exist anymore. So I think it's pretty, and that's why I always emphasize dating. Because it's like, especially if you're married, because if you don't have the dating skills, if you don't keep the relationship fresh, fun, and exciting, you don't get that stimulation, you know, people are going to go outside of that relationship to get that stimulation. And marriage is hard. I'm divorced. Like, I got married around the same time Mark did. I mean, we were married back in church together back in the day.
Yes, indeed. I remember.
And he lasted way longer than me.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
But he had kids and I didn't. I think that's why he lasted longer. That's why he lasted longer. But that's the reason I think people get married, especially in your 40s. I think you get married, you stay together less because you realize by the time you're in the 40s, you're mature enough to know how valuable your time is and how short life is and how fast time flies. So once you find out you're not enjoying it, you're going to cut your losses.
Well, Doc, I got a question about that, though. And so I hear what you're saying, but what is the explanation for the percentage of individuals who will get another divorce, who will break up? They have a two 2.5 times higher probability of breaking up. They don't even last.
That's what I'm saying. When you get married and you're younger, you still have a lot of inexperience. You have a lot of naivete. You might even still be naive enough to think that person, you can change somebody. You might be naive of that, but by the time you get 40, you get married for the second time, you pretty much see the situation as it is. You have enough experience. So you don't really, I mean, you can have first marriage, you can romanticize it. But most people in their second marriage, they don't romanticize it.
They got some real measurable goals that they need to see happen, and they need to see them in a very timely manner. They need to see them in a timely manner. Are you suggesting that?
Go ahead.
The young lady.
What I wanted to say was the thing that's going on too that you guys are not mentioning is over the years the tables have turned. Whereas you used to have only female gold diggers looking at the man for what he's driving or what kind of money he got. Now, today, it done flipped. And the men are looking for a woman that has more than he has or at least what he has. You know what I'm saying? And now you got men going to do it. You don't have them that way. Now they looking at you. Can you pay their phone bill? And can you? Well, they looking at the woman to see what she has. Am I saying something wrong?
Oh, well, I can't say. I think that you're talking about, and Dr. Mumbo Jumbo kind of hit on it. He said that the financial stability of a woman has pretty much been, you know, satisfied a lot. You all are taking care of yourselves. So think about
that. We're taking care of the men now, too. Back in the day, our mothers didn't take care of no men. The men had to go out and go to work and take care of the woman. That's tradition. That's the way they were taught. We got some new stuff going on now.
But that's what I was going to say. What I was going to say was that the reason now you have opportunities, and I've said this also, do you realize that the unemployment rate is higher amongst black men, for instance, and I'm talking about black men in America, than it is among black women? So you have a higher rate of employment than we do right now. So it would be kind of interesting, because think about it now. If you are more employed or considered more employed of both, then that means there may be more of us unemployed, and we need help. So if we need help and you're out there, voila, we're going to ask for it. And you know what? What I want to do is I want to continue on that line of questioning when we come back from this little commercial break to take. This is the Bree Life Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody's looking for a leader.
So how's that working for you, buddy?
The next Martin Luther King, Malcolm X.
I don't know, Marcus Garvey.
You figure it out. But here's the question. What if you walk down the street yourself? Yourself. Oh, I know. You're waiting for that glory bus to come and pick you up. Well, you just sit there and wait. And maybe, and just maybe, you might get picked up. But here's a novel idea. Walk down the street yourself.
Just walk down the street yourself.
You know, as many leaders as we have had, you think you have leader practice by now. So you should be ready to lead yourself down the street. Because, hey, you never know. You might get there. Just having fun, folks. This has been Mark Said It in Under a Minute.
was wrong, oh baby, wasn't right. Tried to.
Well, we're back, folks. This is the Be Live Radio Show, and this is your host, Mark Sedit. And today we're talking about when marriage is a bust after 40-plus, the whole phenomena of marriages ending in our 40s after long times of being married, years of being married, and what are we doing now? And I said this earlier when the show started also when I was doing my introduction, was that when I look on the websites, the dating websites, they actually have dating websites dedicated to 50-plus people. But you ain't got to go that far. All you got to do is go on your regular dating sites, and you can see if you do a query or a search for 45-plus, you're going to find a lot of people out there dating at 45-plus. And many of those people are going on their either second marriage or second or third long-term committed relationship. So it seems to be a turning over. And the article I read, and even what I heard Dr. Mumbo Jumbo say, and what I heard the caller from 312 say, was that, you know, there are a lot of reasons and issues that concern us that we can sustain ourselves more. We're more mobile. We are more likely to live in three or four different places within our lifetime. And so with that mobility, with that flexibility, and with that independent financial stability, it seems like, wow, what do we need a partner for? I mean, that's what I want. I mean, because guess what? One of the young ladies on one of the other shows that I had, she talked about a device, and she has a name for it. She calls it Quartermain. And she basically talks about the whole issue of the sexual function that a man would provide, she can get from this device. So the other pieces become less desirable to put up with because, hey, if I can do the sexual part for myself, pleasure, I'm not as eager to deal with the other mess that individual would bring to the situation. So I'm throwing that out there. Anybody jump in anytime you want. What you got to say about that?
Well, I have a friend, and she has been dating this guy. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. So she's been dating this guy, and she was thinking about marrying him. And so she went down and she's visited him a couple of times, but she went down and visited him again. But this time she came back, and she decided that she's going to remain on her own and not even think about marriage because she feels that this time it's all about her. She just graduated her son about a year ago now. And so now it's time to think about herself because the main thing he was thinking about or asking her was, could you massage me or could you cook me something? Even though he knows how to cook for herself, but it's like, you don't even want to be asked that no more. Like, where's the compatibility in a relationship? Let's be companions. Not on my plate so much, but let's just try to do some things and make sense because you're tired. At that point, you're just kind of tired and you don't want to. There's certain things you just don't want to do no more.
Well, 312, what do you have to say about that? What do you have to say about that?
Nothing.
312 has nothing to say about this. That's quite interesting. So you know what? I'm going back to the doctor because I know the doctor got something that he could add to this conversation about what we just talked about. I mean, what's this whole thing, doctor? I mean, the other caller from the 612, she alluded to the fact that, hey, people don't want to be bothered with stuff, kind of what you said. So what do we do then if folks don't have the willingness to be bothered?
Well, I mean, I think that let me address first that thing that you said about the sister with her device.
Mm-hmm.
That though she's getting her sexual stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and but that which is one of the parts I guess disagreed the most with Think Like a Man. The emphasis that it put on the woman's female sexuality, you know, her sexuality and her cookies, and it put such a high value on that I think that it sort of belied the fact that men it took such a high value on that as far as men seeking that, that it didn't balance that out, which I can say if the women got the cookies and the men got the milk or whatever you want to say, because just as much as men desire a woman's physical intimacy, women desire a man's emotional intimacy. And it's not just about, and it's the same thing with men, it's not just about this act of sex. You know, we need more than just the act of sex. If all we were concerned with was the act of sex, then we wouldn't go through a lot of the stuff we go through. But that's a much easier thing, just sexual release and sexual satisfaction. Well, like you said, you get a device, you can do that yourself. If the relationship isn't worth all the trouble if that's all you're after. But really it's that emotional connection, that emotional security is what people really want. Now, as far as not wanting to massage the guy or fix the guy's plate and stuff like that, you know, So much of that is cultural, and one of my favorite affirmations I say right now is, now that we're a forest, I'm no longer just a tree. And too many of our people, soul people, we think like individual trees, and because of that, we don't create a culture that's viable to support our life. That's why you have more brothers in prison than in college. That's why the life expectancy for brothers in prison is longer than the life expectancy for brothers out of prison. That's why you have these kids shooting and killing each other, you know, because of that. So I think the whole relationship, the whole point of the relationship thing, and we've been pitted against each other it's a battle. We think it's men versus women. We sort of bought into the whole men versus women thing. But it's not really that. It's not brothers versus sisters. It should be brothers and sisters trying to survive so that we can raise up children that, you know, we can carry on. And we cannot just, I mean, we just have so many issues. And the culture is the biggest thing. And it's because of the values of the culture, since we sort of adopted the values of the mainstream culture, and we're trying to do that, and it's not really working. It's not really working for us. And so I think until we can get back and have a heart, basically, for our children and our descendants and our heritage and our sort of legacy, then we can start. This is one thing I firmly believe is that I believe that the unity of brothers and sisters used to be because we were both focused on nature. And the thing that our unity and our commonality came because we were both devoted to nature. And I think part of the miseducation that we've had is we've turned our focus towards each other and against each other, and we've adopted this mentality of the battle of the sexes. And that's just been to our mutual destruction and our mutual demise. So I think we have opportunity, but I think it's natural for a man who, and when the man was asking you, you know, to fix the plate or massage, all that stuff, like that, all the man was really asking for was some emotional security. That's all he was asking for.
Mm-hmm. That's all he was asking for. I want to say something about that
because I think that's a really good point. See, I think women, and we talked about this, I guess I'll say me and Dr. Mumbo Jumbo have talked about this before, and I think, you know, I've talked about this with other people, is that we want same things, but the delivery or the vehicle or the device of delivery is different. So because men and women are different, we're not the same, what we desire may look different. So a woman might say, you're not sensitive. You have no sensitivity. But no, your sensitivities are not dealt with the same way as hers is. So both of us having the inability to understand how each other processes causes a lot of our problems to me. I think that a lot of times we just duplicate. The reason we have more occurrences of breakups, because we're trying to perfect that which we never could perfect in that first orientation. We're still trying to figure out how to navigate it, and even how to understand ourselves. Like you said, the man that wanted the massage or whatever, he was asking for something that he didn't know how to put in words, and she didn't all she understood it as being as taking. And she didn't want nobody taken from her no more, because she been having somebody taken from her for a long ass time.
Well, it's
hard for her.
She don't mind doing it when she wants to do it. She doesn't want to be asked, I guess. I mean, I guess it'd be okay every blue moon, but you kind of just want to, if I want to massage you, then let me just go up to you and massage you. If I want to bring your plate, but when you get to the point of asking, it kind of takes it in a different direction. That's what
But here's the thing. The thing is, and I kind of heard Dr. Mumble Double say, here's a problem with that. And I'm going to say the problem with that is understanding the whole reason why we're together, and meaning that I recognize your needs, you recognize my needs, and we recognize how, as a unit,
but a lot of times the man doesn't recognize the woman, or he doesn't.
No. Well, I understand that, and I think
so. There goes the major problem.
Well, again, and I think I heard the doctor mention this, and it was basically about issues of culture, issues of understanding what we got away from. And just understanding the concept of nature. I mean, if you think about it, nature basically works to benefit the whole of itself. You see what I'm saying? So each part has a place to do certain things for the sustaining of the ecosystem.
Correct. I agree. And
so
when
something is out of balance or something is out of place, it causes problems for the whole thing.
Well, I like what you said about creating a culture, because back in slavery time, they started preaching individualism, and that means pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You can do it. Go ahead on. You don't need my help. Push you out the door. Whereas then with Clinton came along, I believe it was, they started saying, well, we need the family. We take the village to raise the kid. You know, it takes the village to raise the family. Well, that was something we were already doing, but then we got indoctrinated with the individualism. Well, I don't need to help you. You got to do it like I did it. So it created a whole different culture. Now they're trying to
get
back.
And with that, what I'm going to do is I want to pick up on the other side. We're going to go to a commercial break. You listen to the Bree Life Radio Show on the Bree Life and Blog Talk Radio Network.
The movie Think Like a Man is a comedic look at how gender communications is highly nuanced. For me, the operative word in the title is think. We just don't think.
Don't think.
We don't think before we speak.
We don't think about how things sound.
We don't think
about how others feel.
While the debate may continue to rage if men and women can think like each other, I think if we gave a little thought to just one thing, what if we could just
think
about one small thought? What if we could just care, as in care about how the other person thought, about how we think about them? What a tongue twister. Today's episode has been brought to you by the upcoming blockbuster movie, Act Like You Care. What do you think? This has been Mark Said It in Under a Minute.
Under a Minute.
Live radio show on Blog Talk Radio. Phone number is 424-220-1862. And you can find us on the web at www.blogtalkradio.com/BRILIFE. You know, before I go any further with this, I just got to say this, because it just made me, when I was listening to After the Love Is Gone, I have to say something to y'all. You know, for those who know me and are listening, they know that my uncle, Donald Myrick, was in Earth, Wind & Fire. And actually, that's one of my favorite songs, After the Love Is Gone. And he does a saxophone solo on there. And I just thought about, man, that was a group that Earth, Wind & Fire was a group that was way before its time. Because if you think about it, how many groups these days actually mix the whole concept of that you're going to actually dance off of something that's talking about some kind of spiritual construct or some kind of inner being piece while you're dancing? We don't listen to nothing like that. And not that I'm trying to push anybody's kind of concept of mysticism or religion or whatever, but it's the whole concept of music that addresses introspection, regardless of whatever your orientation is. I just thought that, wow, you know, I was listening to the words. It was just like, man, you know, kind of really addressing the whole concept of what happens after the love is gone. You know, what used to be right is wrong. And love is lost and found. I mean, wow, some deep stuff there. But anyway, I know I'm getting off the subject a little bit, but I just want to say that shout out, R.I.P. to Don Martin, the best saxophonist that I ever knew, you know.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. to Don Martin, baby. But anyway, as we left off, and we were talking about this whole issue of cultural peace, of interacting, and the little commercial about act like you care as opposed to, you know, think like a man, you know, as opposed to thinking like a man. I'm wondering how much are we willing to do to find out how to best serve this whole gap that some people talk about, you know, the gap between men and women, the battle of the sexes. I mean, what are we battling? We're battling in a battle that we lose, both lose, and we come out exhausted. That's my take on this whole battle. You know, but I don't know if we know how to truce. I don't know if we know how to truce. So the young lady from the 612, can you give a suggestion on how we might truce? How we might come up with a truce?
That's a hard one, brother. It's a hard one,
you
brother. You know why I say it's a hard one?
Yeah, you said it's a hard one. How can we come up with a truce?
Because
the reason I say that,
you
and let me say this real quick.
People, what?
Let me say this real quick. The reason I say the truth, because I was having a kind of conversation with the 312 as well, and it's this whole concept of, all right, forget all this looking for, I don't need nobody, whatever, I ain't trying to be bothered with looking for nobody, I'm going to get caught up into my business, I'm going to get caught up in whatever. But one part of us doesn't leave, man, and it's that whole attraction and that connection to the opposite, to that whole personal, sensual, emotional need to connect. You can't just put yourself in the work and it's going to go away. You don't work that away. It's still going to be there. So what do you do?
The script has flipped. We looking at men now like, man, I worked too hard to get all of this. Let me see what he got going on first. It's averaging out. As some people let go, some other people are pulling it back together or working on things, you know.
Mm.
So the gap is going to fill itself, and it's going to always, when one door open, another one close. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's not going to break up at the same time and be single. There's still people getting married. There's people going to City Hall. They smart now. They're not spending all that money on weddings just because the I almost said debt to income ratio, but the divorce ratio. The divorce ratio is so high, you come out better taking that wedding money and going to the Bahamas on a long vacation instead. You know, people be spending $20,000 on a cake and for a dress, and her fat ass can't even get in that dress next year because she fall off once she get a man.
Oh my God!
I'm serious. You work them to get them, but you don't work it to keep them. You know, and vice versa. Same thing with the men. They want to start out opening doors. I'll tell a man on the first date, don't open that door. If you're not gonna open that door forever, don't do that shit tonight. Don't even play no games. Waste your time with me.
Oh, guess what?
Hey, on the driver's side.
I gotta stop you right there for this one reason. Yeah, that's some fire right there.
And you know what else? While you were talking about Earth, Wind, and Fire, Earth, Wind, and Fire, if you look at both of the albums and you look at the title of every record, it tells a story almost. It sings a song. It wants you to remember. It tells you that's the way of the world. You know what I'm saying? It tells you the reason. It tells you about devotion.
Hey, Dr. Mumbo Jumbo, listen to this.
The whole album tells you what's really going on. Yep.
Whoa.
Yep.
Oh my God!
We know
what's
going on today.
Hey sister, I'm gonna stop you for 1 minute. I'm gonna stop you for 1 minute because I gotta say something about this brother Mumbo Jumbo. Y'all don't know Mumbo Jumbo is in his own right a very accomplished musician himself. Because actually, that's how I came to know him. Before he was a Mumbo Jumbo. Yeah, say what? Before I knew about Mumbo Jumbo or whatever, I knew about his artistry, his gift to play. So, what you think of what the sister just said about that whole thing that she just said?
No, well, I mean, let me go back to the first question about how do we make the truth, you know? And you hit on it, Mark, when you said that even if people focus on their business and stuff like that, they still have this desire to connect.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the we I'm talking about soul people now. I'm talking about brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
I assume it's just mostly brothers and sisters on this call. We are a very emotional people. We are just emotional people. We probably got more emotional stuff than most other cultures. You know, we got the Michael Jacksons, the Aretha Franklins, the Beyoncés, and all that other kind. We got those kind of people, the Martin Luther Kings. We got those emotional people with that emotional power, you know, that charismatic power.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of our heritage. So we are always going to need that. So that analytical business stuff, you know, that we try to emulate the values of the larger culture is never going to be enough to totally satisfy us because it's not our nature. You know, we need something more. That's why we have all the emotion and stuff in church. And most people in churches, they're not in churches because they've studied and they understand the doctrine and the stuff like that. They stay in church because emotionally they're getting something from it. You know, emotionally they're getting from it. Because if you ask them, well, have you ever studied Aramaic, Greek, or Hebrew, do you actually know what this is saying or where this text came from, the original Sumerian stuff? They don't really care about
mm-hmm.
that. They just care about what they feel. And so we're people of great feeling and great power. And in that great feeling and in that great power, our women, our females, have more emotional sophistication and intelligence than the brothers do. I don't think any woman out there who's ever dated a man would say that man was emotionally as aware or emotionally sophisticated as you were. You know, when I compare, like, a man's emotions to the three primary colors, but I compare a woman's emotions to, like, Photoshop, you know? And so a woman has strong emotional power. A man has strong physical power. The difference is, in our culture, men have learned to, not all men, but some men are still knuckleheads, and some men will physically abuse their wives and use their advantage in physical power to abuse women to try to force them to do what they do. But most good brothers will humble themselves, and they're not going to resort to using their physical advantage. On the other hand, most women, most sisters nowadays, they used to, and some still do, but most sisters nowadays don't make any effort to humble themselves emotionally. So most sisters will wield their emotional power, batter, make fun of a guy, beat him all around and stuff like that. And so when you talk about this truth that's coming, the only way the truth can come in getting back to nature is I believe that women have to get back and sort of rein in their emotional stuff and just stop battering each other and us around and use that emotional advantage that you have, you know, in a more positive way. It's like I've worked with both at-risk youth and Project Impact, you know, with boys mm-hmm. who were assigned to that program before they went into the adult penal thing. I work with a group now called Project Diva, teaching life skills to young ladies. and the conclusion that I came to was that in working with young men is that I can't teach a boy to be a man that hasn't learned the value of being human from the women in his life. If the woman hasn't nurtured him and taught him the value of life, me trying to explain to him, especially growing up in this culture of violence and video games and war games and this culture of violence and war for the last 100 years, there's no way I'm going to instill in him any non-violent values and stuff like that. But
Dr. Mumble, let me say something real quick about that. And it's interesting because we were on the show, and I remember 612 was on the show as well as I was on, and this one young lady got really upset at me because what I said was, I said, the woman's role in a man's life is so important, and that is the nurturing role. And I said, if you notice from an elementary, from school standpoint, you don't see a lot of male teachers prior to middle and high school.
Uh-huh.
You just don't. If you notice that. You find that young boys have a tendency to be ADHD a lot. We see that, unfortunately, for various reasons. But what I've noticed is that one of the persons that seem to be able to get to them and explain and have the capacity to spend that time with them is a woman. Where men have a tendency more ready to employ skills, specific actions, specific tasks. Where a woman is more of the wraparound type of individual that's there to hold and, as we use the phrase, nurture. So what I tell women is that you don't lose that responsibility when it comes to your relationship. Because what she was saying on this particular show, she said, y'all supposed to know. Y'all supposed to know already. I ain't trying to teach no man nothing. That's what she was saying. And I was like, well, okay, what you got to understand, learning is lifelong. It's not a one-time deal. You know what I'm saying? That's what I was trying to explain. It's not a one-time deal. It's a consistent, constant thing. We're constantly learning. So that place in my life that a woman sets forth to me anyway is the nurturer. She's the nurturer. You know what I'm saying? But I hear a lot of women say, they think about nurturing as a baby. They don't think about it from a standpoint of what adds to that man's ability to actually function the way he needs to function in a society. But I just
let me jump in there and clarify it. The thing is that men's emotions are very, since our emotions aren't as sophisticated, they're very focused. They're very powerful. And so the issue with men is that we don't have women, because of your emotional sophistication and your resiliency, you can repair your heart. You can rebuild yourself emotionally much more efficiently than we can. The example I use in my boot camp is like if a woman gets a heartbreak, and if you put your five fingers up, and that's a woman's heart, a person's heart, if a woman's heart gets injured and then she'll like have four fingers, over time she has a sophistication. When her heart heals, she can grow all those fingers back. But if a man gets a heartbreak and he loses a finger, it'll stop bleeding, but he don't get that one back. So now he's got four fingers. And every time he gets a heartbreak, now he's got three fingers. And so what us men do, we learn that the only thing that we can do to protect ourselves, especially against a woman who has an emotional advantage over us, the only thing we can do is draw back and protect ourselves and become cold and hard and defensive.
Mm.
Because that's our only protection. So what we're really looking for, and even with ourselves, even if our guys, like even me and Mark and stuff like that, we never really let our total emotional guard down. The only place that we can really, what we really want is once we find a woman that sort of provides that sort of emotional security that we can actually trust. Trust me. When men commit to a relationship, it's not for the sex.
Mm-hmm.
But we can get sex. The reason we commit to a relationship is because we think we're going to get emotional security. We're going to think we get somebody we can trust and live out our emotional life with.
Lurcher.
That's
why
one of the questions I ask women in my boot camp is, do you distinguish between the power of your female sexuality and your femininity?
Do you distinguish between the power of your female sexuality
and the power of your femininity?
here's what I was going to bring up a point, and you can answer that question for me, but this kind of piggybacks on it. So, because I kind of observe guys that consider themselves gay or, you know, homosexuals or whatever. I look at them and I say they are more feminine than we are women, than us women are. You know, because
right.
they walk and they wear all
right.
this makeup and hair and they wear sexy clothes
they
and, you know,
they
and we don't know how to do that. We don't even know how to do that. So it's like, answer your question because I like to know.
It would be phony, and that's the whole thing about it. You are absolutely right. We are in tune with both. We are, and we do know the difference between them. That's why you know when
you
got
what?
A man, and you know when you can use that thing to control that situation, whatever it is. And you know that this dude here, it ain't going to work on him because he got him lined up around the corner. So if you don't want to play games with Coochie tonight, and not
getting
one, then okay.
But wait a minute. Wait. I'm gonna jump in on that. See, first of all, when I hear what the doctor's saying, he's differentiating between sexuality and femininity.
Right.
And you see what I'm saying?
Right.
And what he's suggesting, at least what I'm hearing, is that there's an essence, and there is an essence of a woman's femininity.
I think we lose it because we do so. We thought being caring
for
people and
essential.
Huh?
One is a spirit and one is a physical being, and they are different.
Well, I wanted to hear him say it because in my life
Wait. I'm gonna say I'm gonna address that. She just said one is a physical thing and one is a
spiritual
being. Come on, doctor. I want the doctor to address that. What do you have to say about what she just said?
Well, let me. I'm gonna ask. How many ladies, sisters do we have on the phone right now?
Two.
We have two.
Okay, then I'm gonna ask like this. I'm gonna ask each one of y'all, and you can answer this question yes or no. You each answer the question. Both of you answer each question,
okay.
And I'm gonna show
okay.
you how it works. So my first question is: you personally, in your life, do you distinguish? Do you make a distinction between your female, the power of your female sexuality and the power of your femininity? Do you personally make a distinction between those, yes or no?
Yes.
For me, I'm going to say no because I don't even know my female.
Okay, then the person that said yes, you tell me why. Tell me why you make a distinction and give me an example of how you distinguish. And then the person that said no, tell me why you don't. Go ahead. First person that said yes.
I said yes. And,
okay,
and
so,
which one is it that you want to know?
Sorry. I want you to give me an example. I want you to tell me why you make a distinction between them.
Okay. Earlier I said one of them is physical and one of them is a spiritual thing. That's the way I look at it.
Okay. Okay. So that's how you do. So can you give me, okay, then let's stop there. That's good enough. The person that said no, why don't you distinguish between them?
I don't know where they begin and end because I know I'm a woman because I look in the mirror. I see how and what society say I'm a woman. That's what I look like. But I don't distinguish between I just do.
No, I understand what you're saying. Now, I'm going to ask you one more question,
okay.
And I'm going to break it down.
Okay.
Can you give me an example of somebody that's sexy but not feminine, and somebody that's feminine but not sexy, and then somebody that's both? First one, though.
Okay.
Give me an example of somebody that's sexy but not feminine.
What's that tennis ball player name? I just saw her pictures online. She's real sexy when she has her bikini and stuff. Was that Serena?
Okay, you think they're sexy but not feminine. Okay. So give me an example of somebody that's feminine but not sexy.
Feminine but not sexy. Yeah, let's see. Whoopi Goldberg.
Whoopi Goldberg. Whoopi Goldberg feminine. Let me help you out a little bit because we're on a time thing. Would you consider Mother Teresa feminine? Would you consider Maya Angelou? Would you consider Would you consider Maya Angelou feminine?
But not pretty at all to me.
Feminine, but not sexy. That's
right.
Sexy. Yeah, okay, yeah.
You would consider Maya Angelou probably, she's feminine, but you're maybe not sexy. Now, this is what I teach my goddaughter.
Mm-hmm.
I tell her that I teach her from the time she was like 16. I say, you have to, and this is the problem I have with Steve Harvey's movie. I say, you have to, as a woman, your self-esteem has to be beyond your female sexuality. Because if your value is in your cookies or your female sexuality, every year they come out with a younger, fresher, sexier version of you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you only got this small window. You only got 8 to 12 years where you're going to be at the peak of your sexuality.
Right.
But your femininity can grow forever. I saw Eartha Kitt. I saw Eartha Kitt do a concert when she was like 86. And she was the most sexy woman performer I had ever seen. And it was all with her voice. It was all with her mannerisms. She understood men so well. She had every man in that auditorium was just glued to her, even though she was literally old and 86. But she understood the power of her femininity and how to use it, you know.
And can
so
I say something?
Go ahead.
I was going to give this as an example. It's kind of like when you are grounded and you know yourself inside and out, brain, sex, skin. Beauty is not necessarily on the outside, and a lot of men don't get that. It's in the heart, it's in the brain, it's in your soul and your mind.
Can I say something real quick? I want to stop you right there. I think a lot of women don't know that, what you just said. I don't think a lot of men don't know about beauty. I think a lot of women don't know that.
And it took me years and years to learn that because I had a little pouch on my stomach. But ain't nothing wrong nowhere else. And it's like you get in the bed with a man, and a man told me, he said, damn, your skin like an eighth grader. I'm like, an eighth grader? What that mean? He said, it's flawless and it's soft like a baby's ass. It's a feather. I've been with young girls, and skin don't feel like yours. So I see that it's not about age. It's about how you take care of yourself, how you feel, how you make yourself feel, and how you nurture your mind as well as your body. It's the whole package, and you gotta know the difference between the two.
Go ahead, Mark. Go ahead.
What I was going to say was this, and this is what I would say, and I've said this to people before. What you need to understand about men is we know when we're in the presence of someone that has, and I always say, people talk about, line up a whole lot of things. I want this. But what I call it the intangible, and that intangible is that thing which you can't put your finger on. It ain't a look. But you know it, and you sense when you're in the presence of someone that has it, whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? As far as that thing that just puts you in a different place with them. And I think that level of femininity is what it is, because it's right. You see guys all the time. You say, "Well, I wonder why he with her," because she don't look like. And I'm talking about women are saying this, not men. Women are saying,
right,
why he with her.
Right.
Because it's something about her that pulls him in, that gives him that sense of whatever he needs to feel. And she understands that. And she doesn't even. You know what? I've had this conversation with Dr. Mumble Jumble before. I don't even know if women always understand what they have.
We don't.
Even
though
they have it.
Some of them don't even know they got it.
Well,
they
you know,
do
that,
because I'm a cowboy, I don't understand it. And I heard women say, "Oh, I got breasts, I can get whatever." I'm like, "What? I've been having breasts, but what does that mean?" You know, I never understood it because I'm a tomboy. So it's like, or maybe I didn't entertain it. I don't know, but I'm one of those.
The name of my boot camp is How to Date Your Dream Guy while being the girl of your dreams. And the reason that I do that, and the reason that I, as after all the stuff I sort of kind of studied and tried to figure out, okay, what's the best way to help us restore our culture? What's the best way for us to actually create a viable culture of life that we can sustain the life of our young children and we don't wind up dead or in jail, we don't wind up eating poison, eating food that we don't grow, dying from heart, early deaths from high blood pressure, heart disease, and diabetes, and things like that. How can we restore a culture of life in our people? And to me, the shortest path was, I'm not a woman, but since I was raised by women with great feminine awareness and feminine power, I said, okay, if I can just remind women of the power they have, they can save us. The problem with our institutions is the lack of femininity. That's the problem with our politics. Trust me, men are fixers. If we could fix the world and all the problems, it would be fixed. What you see in world politics is the best men can do. We, you know, our solution is to fight. You know, we don't have that emotional capacity to understand what people really, really want and how to make that, not just how to make a compromising peace, but how to make a peace that's actually going to last because it's based on a mutual interest where it's a win-win and it's not a win-lose. Women sort of understand, you guys have the ability to do that, but for what, because of your historically going into the marketplace and because you're trying to compete economically and take care of yourselves and emulating all these male behaviors and stuff like that, you, for the most part, in this culture, it's not in every culture, because I've traveled to South America and other cultures where the femininity is alive and well. But it's primarily here, it's women emulate so many masculine attitudes and things like that, and even when they're in corporate America, they handle things in a masculine way. And then they take that into the relationship, and it's just, it becomes unnatural. It just becomes unnatural because we were designed, and I didn't make us. I did not design us. So you can argue with whatever name you give the creator. You can argue with whoever your God is. But I do understand how we were designed to function. And when we operate according to our nature, it's easy. We get along. Things go well. But
you know what I want to do?
The thing is, go ahead.
This is what I want to do. I'm going to take a commercial break real quick, and then I'm going to bring in a caller I have calling from 773-209. You're listening to the Bree Life Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio.
Just the other day, I was involved in a very passionate and provocative discourse on race. You know, yeah, race, as in skin color differentiation and definition. And I came away with a thought. Injustice is never justified. But you'll never attain it by simply switching the color of the controller.
The color of who's in power.
To believe a person will administer justice to you just because he looks like you is a romantic psychological construct
that don't always work.
Justice can only come from those who are just. And that may not include the us that looks like you.
I'm just saying.
This has been Mark Said It in under a minute.
This is the Bree Life Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio, and tonight we've been discussing matters. Again, we've been all over the place, actually, to be honest, but we started out talking about when marriage is a bust, after 40 plus. And we're just dealing with the fact that there are a lot of people who are seeming not to be able to hold it together or choosing not to hold it together after 40 and going on above 40 into the 50s. Well, before I went on my break, I recognized a caller from 773-209. I'm going to bring you on, 773-209. You're on the Bree Live Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's going on?
What's going on?
Not much. How's everybody doing?
Hello, fine.
Yeah, doing well.
That's good. First of all, my name is Otis. I was just calling in to support my big brother, and I was just sitting back listening.
Otis is perpetrating because he got the 773, but see, I know that Otis is in Florida from down where.
Yes, I am in sunny Miami right now. Absolutely.
It better not be no sunny Miami right now.
I hope, but in the morning it will be. Absolutely.
It better not be no sunny Miami. So, buddy, you've been listening. You have anything? What you think about that you've been here?
Well, actually, I just came in on the butt end, if you will, of the tomboy thing and how the femininity thing is going. No real thoughts about that, you know what I mean? I feel, in my opinion, lady, a woman should be a woman, you know, but whatever you choose to do as a woman, that's, you know, strictly on you, you know, whether it is, you know, having a girl, having a guy, whatever it is, so.
That's a broad statement. What does a woman should be a woman mean? I got to bring you your food,
Okay, well, here it is. No. When I say, you know, a woman being a woman, if you choose to have a woman, you know, as your mate, that's you.
Okay.
If you choose to have a man as your mate, that's you. Like I said, I came in on the butt end of the conversation. So,
okay.
So,
my
thing is, do you? You know, as long as you don't bring your ill will to me and you know, and my, you know, circle, if you will, we cool. You know, that's my take on it.
Well, you know what, brother? I appreciate you calling in. You down there in sunny South Beach. I mean, you know, I can't complain about right now. I'm getting too much sun where I am because it was 105 yesterday and it was 101 here today. So, you know, I don't
know.
We ain't having a problem with sun in Houston right now. Right now, I'm trying to get the powers that be to bring this thing back to around the 90, 85 type of thing. You know what I'm trying to say? Because this whole tropical humidity is kicking my butt right now. I don't even know. But, brother, hey, I appreciate you calling in, brother. You know,
really
do. And if you can continue to support and listen, I do appreciate it. I know you will.
I will.
Have a ball down there, brother, for me.
All right, man. Thank you, man. I love you.
All right. Well, I love you too, brother.
All right.
Okay. So, back to... and that was my brother Otis. I mean, Otis, boy, I got stories I can tell you about Otis. I mean, Otis was a little baby. And I had Otis in my, I call him my little brother. But one day he was coming out of church. I had the little brother, and he had to be all of 4 or 5 months old. He in my left arm, my left arm, my sister accidentally closed my hand in the door. And I was telling him, I am responsible for him still being here, because at the end of the day, you know what? I ain't dropped his ass. I did not drop his ass. I always tell him he is still alive partially for God's grace of me.
That's how I am.
Yeah, I had to throw that in. But brother, Dr. Mumble Jumble, do you recall where you left off, Dr. Mumble Jumble?
I sure don't.
Okay, and that's okay, because you know what? One thing I know about Dr. Mumble Jumble is, Dr. Mumble Jumble, all you got to do is just give him a little information, and he'll be right back wherever he was or whatever. And I'm going to tell you, we left off talking about the woman's femininity, and we left off talking about the woman's femininity versus her sexuality. And I really want you to kind of like, you know, kind of, if you can, wrap that whole thing up, because we kind of got lost and we heard a couple of things. You asked the young lady some information. They gave you their responses. But break down what it is in your mind when it comes to this whole lack of femininity and sexuality. And I want you to keep this in mind. When we're talking about this, we're also talking about the fact that we're dealing with what the topic of this discussion was. And it was talking about marriage being a bust after 40-plus. What can we do at this juncture in time and at our ages to address our relationship issues if we look at the issue of femininity and sexuality? And I'm going to give you the floor, my brother.
Well, I tell brothers, if you want a good relationship, the best thing you can do is try to find a good feminine woman. That's your best chance, because if you don't do that, you basically have no chance of success. It's not going to be, because if you understand historically our people, the culture, the family, the business, the horticulture, all the stuff like that, it was run by the women. Because just like you were saying, with like the women had all the children, both male and female, till they reached a certain age, because they were taught the ways of the culture, the ways of the group, how to value life, how to grow food and all of that. And then when they got to a certain age, they need to learn other skills like hunting, fishing, or other more skill stuff. That's when the men took over and did that. So women, and I, only reason I'm hesitating is because I've done my boot camp so many times and I've talked to so many women on this subject. I know I sort of have the way that you communicate this information so that women kind of get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know just talking off the top of my head, it's going to be a little sketchy, but I will say this. And I think we talked about this on the show before, Mark. One of the big ways you can identify a feminine woman is about how she uses her voice.
Right.
A feminine woman understands the power of her voice to heal, to nurture, to really create an emotional climate. You know, they understand that, and then they use that to do that. It's like everybody knows, like if anybody that's ever lived in a household, in a family, they know that whatever mood mom is in, that's everybody in the whole house dances around mom's emotions. If mom's cool, everything's
absolutely
cool. If mom's upset, everybody tiptoeing around.
Mm-hmm.
Because mom is the emotional power in the family and in the household. And
let me interrupt you real quick. Also, if you think about it, whenever you have a problem with dad, who do you go to?
Mom.
You go to
that's
mom.
When you are physically afraid, you go to dad. When you need healing, you go to mom.
Absolutely.
If you're emotionally hurt and healing, you go to mess. The dad might do the best he can, but his touch, his soothing voice is not going to repair you emotionally like mom will.
Right.
And again, there's so many examples of that nurturing and that femininity. And I tell us, like, if you want to see who the feminine woman is, and the thing is about that femininity, it always grows. You know, that's the thing that men are initially attracted to your sexuality. But men stay in a relationship and they stay loyal in a relationship because of the emotional environment you create. They might come to you initially because you're physically attracted, but how many people is a man physically attracted to in one day? We get physically attracted to
you. You know what? Doc, let me say something. I got to say something about that. I had this conversation the other day, too. I said this. Let me say something to you. People always talk about men running after ass. He runs after ass. I said, let me explain something to you about men running after ass. If y'all don't understand something, first of all, if we truly was 100% only about running after ass, we'd be running into a wall all the damn time. I mean, we wouldn't be
all
able to concentrate. So let's get something straight. Yes, we clearly know what ass look like, and we like what ass look like. But at the end of the day, we end up with somebody that we have more that we connect with than the ass.
Otherwise,
we ain't going to be with her. Trust and believe. Trust and believe. I can promise you that on everything I love and I know that, yeah, the booty is a booty or whatever body part or whatever the physical, whatever you look at, you know, I'm just using the ass as the piece to represent the body of a woman. The bottom line is this. At the end of the day, you end up sticking and staying with somebody that you connected with on a level that's beyond the ass. Because you got to,
and
right?
Because, especially in our culture, there's such a lack of feminine skill. Because I've seen this. I've seen this with, in my last chapter, I call it the secrets of the power women, the secrets of the superwomen, the super women. And these are women who have had long-term relationships, 50, 60 years, and the guys are just so happy. When a guy gets a woman, when a man finds a woman that knows how to create that emotionally environment where he can trust her emotionally, he won't even do anything that's going to risk that. He ain't going to cheat. He ain't going to do nothing stupid that's going to risk not having that because he knows how rare that is. He knows how hard it is to find that, to find somebody that's always going to be, that always has that. I'm saying she's perfect, but she's going to have that ability to emotionally withstand stuff with a positive, in a positive way, and she's not going to, you know, use her emotional advantage to bully him and stuff like that. So when a man finds some woman that's humble and has that ability and knows how to use her voice and stuff like that, he ain't going to even risk leaving her or risk using that. And we can say it's a lot of other different things. Because one of the other myths I addressed in my boot camp is I asked women, as far as the energy that goes into a relationship, how much time you spend thinking about it, how much time you spend talking about it, how much of it, do you think the effort between men and women is 50-50, 60-40, 80-20? And most women nowadays in this misguided thing, they think a relationship it should be 50-50. But it's not. We don't, our brains are physically wired differently than yours. We cannot physically, mentally think about the relationship as much as you do. Our brains just work differently. So if you think that, if you're waiting on the man to meet you halfway, we have equal value, but because of the design of our nature, we have different roles and different functions. So if you're waiting for a man to be equal to you and do everything that you would do and understand things the way you understand it, if that's your expectation, you're always going to be disappointed.
Always disappointed. You hear that, folks? Always disappointed if you're waiting for that.
Okay. But if you accept a man, but if you accept a man for what a man is, then you will get such emotional satisfaction from him than you would get from anything. Then the emotional satisfaction you'll get will be greater than anything except the emotional connection you have with your own child. It'll be greater than the connection with your mother, with your sister, with your girlfriends. It'll be greater than everything except the connection between your own child. Because I know what the secret fear, I know what the secret fear of a woman is.
What is it?
Uh-oh.
I know what it is.
What is it?
You tell me, what's your secret fear?
I don't have it, I want you to tell me because
let me explain what I mean when I say secret fear. When I say secret fear, I mean what's going on underneath that? When you're in a relationship and you see people, when you see a guy start acting irrationally, when you see a woman start acting irrationally and they all flustered, and you find, okay, they're blowing this kind of out of proportion. What's that underlying fear that's driving that behavior? Because you know sometimes you get into a discussion and you're like, okay.
Being alone.
Oh, is him leaving her? He's not her? Which one is it?
Being alone.
Being alone?
Oh, that's pretty
cool. Is that what it is? I'm asking the doctor.
Well, you tell me.
Is it the fear of him leaving her for someone else, or is it the fear of, like you said, being alone?
I thought you asked her what was her secret fear, though.
Huh?
Her secret fear. Yeah, a woman's secret fear.
I asked you personally, what's yours?
I don't have any.
Yeah, right. Okay, you don't.
I am very confident in my skin. I accept people for who they are, and I don't judge you, and I just accept if you make a mistake, it's not my business. It's your business. That's your life, and you chose to make that decision. So I don't have any of those fears that you're talking about, so... That's why I'm asking.
Oh, you're very rare then.
What is her fear that he will
leave? Well, I mean, I'm sure every
person.
Well,
has
I tell you what, I'm gonna help you out. Cause I ain't gonna help you out that much. I'm gonna help you out a little bit.
Okay.
I'm gonna ask brother. I'm gonna help you out. What's the brother's secret fear? What's the man's secret fear?
Ask her this way though: a masculine man or an immasculine man?
I'm asking the men this now.
Oh, okay.
I'm asking the men this now. What is a man's secret fear?
I would say not being adequate. You know,
I would agree with that. It's a little more than that, but that's on the right track. A man's secret fear is that we won't have the ability to protect and provide for ourselves and our loved ones.
Okay, that makes
sense.
Okay. That's our secret fear. That drives everything with us.
Right.
If we're unsure about that and if we ain't got a plan for that, we pretty much, from a relationship standpoint, we're pretty much useless. Because that's what's driving us. And we're trying to figure out a plan. How am I going to protect myself, provide for myself, and how am I going to do that for my loved one? That's what makes us get up every day. That's what drives us. And when we're tripping in a relationship, it's usually because of that. If you get way down to it, we're showing something to worry about that. But that's again, according to our nature, how we designed and how we were evolved. Now, what's a woman's secret fear?
Well, you know what? Here's out. I want y'all to think about that because I want to do my last commercial break of the evening.
All right.
And we'll be right back. We're on the Bree Life Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio.
This one's for you, Alex Stoney and Gigi, the representative. You know, the person who is, but they ain't. Now, remember, the representative can be good. They might be able to represent for 4 years or might get her done in 2 weeks. They have a sparkling smile. Best foot forward, great humor. The one you want to take home to mama. But if you got a minute, stick around. You'll get a chance to see the frog, ribbit, ribbit, swallow your princess. You were just in the fitting room, getting ready for that wedding. Okay, now, I'm going to need you to hold your horses. Slow down. You got to know that all that glitters ain't gold. It ain't even gold-plated. So this is what I'm going to need you to do. Start seeing who's in front of you before they get under you. This has been Mark Said It in under a minute.
I purloined it from the library. It was written by Garsomo Tease, the famous crook, and it's a clue to 1,000,000 pounds of gunpowder he stole and hid somewhere in the environs of Boston City.
Oh, now you're talking.
Yeah, hey, that was my girl Eartha Kitt as Catwoman.
Mark, I thought my phone went to a different radio station. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, y'all, you heard that.
Hey, I want to ask this question before you left.
Somebody's tripping now.
A woman's greatest fear is that the man won't be able to take care of her, provide and protect her. Well, yay, my parents. Well, doctor, what you say? What say you?
You know what? You know what the interesting thing is that I know why women are having a hard time answering the question in the way I proposed it.
Uh-huh.
And that's precisely the reason that I designed my boot camp the way I did. Because one of the big things I talk about is the differences between men and women.
Uh-huh.
And the thing is, ladies, that your emotions, you guys are so emotionally focused and your brains are sort of like an emotional network. If you're not physically
each chapter I have you write some things down.
Mm-hmm.
And I have you write out the responses. And the actual physical act of writing out the responses causes the other side of your brain to engage. So you just can't think of it emotionally. You also have to think of it logically.
So question to you.
And
about
I know that's mumbo jumbo, but that's also science, and I got the studies and stuff to back it up.
But I'm saying.
So I understand that, and that's part of the reason I even propose the questions the way I do is to illustrate the differences between men and women and the way our brains work. And once we get to an understanding that a lot of the stuff isn't really personal between us, it's just that we're both expecting each other to act contrary to our design and nature. And once we align our expectations to what we're naturally designed to do, we discover that we're designed to fit perfectly, that we're really one species. We're really one species, one group.
Technically, just answer my question, because I was going to say, because you talked about creating a culture, and then when women, you know, there's a lot of single family women in this world nowadays, so women are taking on roles that technically weren't designed for them. So what you just said makes sense, because that would put it back into some equilibrium, but that, how does that work when you have the men?
Well, but let me just say now,
I got to interrupt because I got to tell you this. I received a text message. Someone's listening to this, and I need you to respond to this, Doc. They heard what you said, and why would a woman say this? Why would she say that's some bullshit?
What part?
The whole issue of, you know, this communication and this, you know, how we are one and all this kind of stuff.
The reason she would say that, because that's her perspective, that's her opinion, and that's her reality.
Mm-hmm.
That's why she would say that. So, you know, my whole thing is if what you're doing is working and you love it, stay with it. That's my mumbo jumbo is my mumbo jumbo.
Well,
you want somebody else's mumbo jumbo? Go there.
Well, hey, kids, I always say this. I say, how's that working for you? But you know what? See, this is my point, though. My point is that a lot of times when you say some things, and I'm sure you're used to that, you're going to get attacked about it. And as a matter of fact, I got a caller in from the 832-443 that I'm going to bring on the line. You're on the Bree Life Radio Show. This is Mark Setting, and we're talking about when 40, over 40, you know, hey, it messes up for us, and we're in another relationship again. What do you have to say about this topic? Hello?
Well, I am the This Is Bullshit texter, so I decided to go ahead and call in since you kind of put me out there.
Nobody would ever know.
That's okay. I'm okay with that. This is Gigi from Houston. I guess part of my issue with that whole part of the conversation, I've been in and out on the show. I didn't hear the entire 2 hours of it, is the question was posed as to what is your fear, is the question that I heard. And so my response to what is your fear, my fear is drama. My fear is at 48 years old, I am not willing to go through the drama of a relationship. And that's the real answer there.
Doc, what you got to say about that, Doc?
Okay. Gigi, hi, how are you?
Hi.
I've talked to a lot of women on this, and I've gotten a lot of responses, and so far I've been able to sort of boil it all down to one thing, and I'm just going to throw this out there. I know I'm throwing it out there outside of context, but I want y'all women to think about it before y'all answer it. I want you to think about it for a while and then say it. I think because women have such strong emotional capacity and potential and capability, I think that their greatest secret fear is emotional unfulfillment. I think they think their greatest fear is, I got all this emotional ability, all this capacity to love, all this capacity to connect, all this stuff like that, am I really going to go through life and not be totally emotionally satisfied? Am I not going to find some place where that desire I have, that emotional desire I have, is fulfilled? And I can even, and I would even not speak, and I'll speak for Gigi if I was going to mumble jumble it. But she said that she doesn't want drama. It's because, okay, to me that's unemotional unfulfillment. She doesn't want to be emotionally unfulfilled, and so she's not going to put up with some drama that's not fulfilling her.
Correct. And the part that I had the BS comment about was the woman's expectation that the guy should meet her 50%, and that a guy is not wired for that. And I have issue with that, because, you know what, if you get to our age, mine anyway, I'm 48, you know what, you've been through enough in relationships to understand that at some point you've got to make some adjustments. And the guy's got to make adjustments, and the woman's got to make adjustments. So understanding that women are very emotional and somewhat sensitive, speaking on my own behalf, then if that's a place you want to be, guy, then you need to consider making an adjustment.
But let me explain this, though. From a scientific standpoint or from a research standpoint and stuff like that, we cannot think about your brain is designed to think emotionally and serially, process things in a parallel, serial way. It's like your brain is wired like a spider web or a network. Everything that you think of has an emotional, you assign an emotional value to everything. Our mind, our brains are not wired that way. Our brains think in serial tracks, like a bunch of separate railroad tracks. And so when we think of something, we have to switch from track to track to track to track to track, right? So with you, everything is part of the relationship. You know, with us, a relationship is just one of many things. But that's just the way our brains were wired for a specific purpose.
Explained, and that you have explained it the best way ever. That is the best way ever to explain that.
And so, I'm saying we can't think about the relationship as much as you, because if we're thinking about something else, the way our brains work, we're not considering the relationship.
Okay, so check this out. This is what I need to do. I need to stop right there. I want to continue this line of thinking, but for everyone that's listening to us online, you've been listening to the Bree Life Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Mark Sedit. I've been your host for this last 120 minutes, and I thank you. I want you all to call back. Tomorrow we have Freestyle Thursday, so you can call in with your topics. You want to talk about it. Hey, this has been a blast. I've enjoyed myself. But we're going to continue into the green room, as we call it, and you can listen in our archives. So thank you very much, and thank you for calling to the Bree Life and listening to the Bree Life Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. Back to what you were saying, brother. You were saying about how we process and the spider web and how women. I want you to finish this. The people that are going to be able to listen to this, they're going to be able to listen to this in the archive, and I really want this to be available. So I want you to break that down for us.
Okay. The way our brains are, that's a whole bunch of differences between men and women. Okay, like women usually speak an average of 70,000 words a day. For men, we usually speak an average of 25,000 to 30,000 words a day.
Well,
you know, women are just, your verbal skills are just more advanced, along with your emotional, your ability to emotional awareness and things like that. There's all types of differences. It's like when you catch a man looking at a woman, you know, the reason that men get caught is because a woman's peripheral vision is much more sophisticated than ours. So a woman can look at a man and not have to turn her head, so she doesn't get caught.
Woo.
But we get caught because our peripheral isn't as sophisticated as yours. So we have to turn our head to look. And so that's what I'm saying. It's from a nature, so we attribute a bunch of things just because we don't really...
No.
Again, we just been miseducated. And so all I'm saying with our brains, the way our brains work, is that the women have an emotional center hub. So everything a woman processes in her brain, she assigns an emotional value to it. That's why, but a man, since we don't do that, our brains don't work like that. And it's from evolutionary reasons when we had to focus on hunting, when we had to go out and fight or kill something, and we need to be able to act without being emotionally impaired. So we had to be able to separate our emotions from our actions so we could protect or provide for our family. So that's the way our brains evolve. So that we can actually separate that stuff. So that's why we can't, when we're acting and doing things, a lot of times we're not, that's why so many of the stupid stuff you do, how can you do that? Weren't you thinking? Well, a lot of times, no, because if we're acting in one way, our brains are not. And again, that's the way your creator made you. I did not make this that way.
Correct.
So don't blame. So I can't take the responsibility for that. That's how we were designed.
Right.
And so that's why when the woman says, oh, you can't remember our first date or our first kiss or our first song and stuff like that, because you are retrieving memories based on their emotional relevance, their emotional value. But when you ask a man to remember that and why a man can't remember an anniversary or something like that, it's literally with us, it's first in, first out. We have to go through every memory we've had since then to try to figure it out.
Oh, my
right.
So how do you explain the man that can remember those things? How do you explain the man who is sensitive?
He's learned the tricks. He knows his weaknesses, and he's uses mnemonic devices, and he makes extra mental notes and stores them away.
No, you know what happened? He has learned how to compensate. That's what he has learned. He has learned how to compensate. But what I'm hearing is this, that from a general standpoint, even when he learns how to compensate, he's going to slip any damn way. Because at the end of the day, his wiring is not like that. So he's actually going, he's doing something that's beyond, well beyond his natural.
It's way above average. It's above average, yeah.
Right, way above average. He's way above average. He's way above average, B. He's way
It definitely does exist.
But even when you see it and when you exist, you can't assume it's just as effortless for him as it is for you. It's natural for you. It's a compensation for him that he works at.
Right.
But it's natural for you. You don't have to work at it because that's just how your brain works.
Mm-hmm.
And so
right.
So,
can I get that?
Together we're the perfect design.
Well, and here's the thing, and this is the thing that I think is quite interesting, because when you think about, you know, you have, I like to put it into the arena of athletes. You know, we look at basketball, we look at guys that have learned a certain skill set, meaning they can dribble that ball at a certain place, and they learn the mechanics, and they can do it. And then you got those guys that have this innate, they have ability, like a LeBron, that he can create situations. You got guys that can't create shots, but you know what? If you can give them that ball in a certain place at a certain time every day, they'll hit that shot because they've learned how to do something as opposed to somebody that has an ability. And I think that's what he's saying. Women in certain areas have the uncanny ability to emotionally process, where a man, even at his best, he's going to have to almost practice it on a daily basis to be that consistent. You don't have to do that. You wake up that way. You go to sleep that way.
Okay, so that being the case, why is that still a minority? Still that being the case and realizing that that's what it is.
Huh? Well, the reason it's a minority is because our mothers aren't training young men as boys with those skills anymore. They're
right.
The boys aren't being nurtured that way. Like I said before, they're not nurtured to value life. They're not nurtured to understand how you take care of things, how you care for people's hearts, and how you care for people's souls. And so the boys grew up disrespectful, disrespecting life, disrespecting women, and stuff like that. And then so some of those other skills that are associated with that they don't understand, hey, me remembering this is an act of kindness, and this makes the woman feel good, it makes her feel special, it gives her pleasure and joy. They don't make the connection with those things. They don't associate their actions. With men, it's like, listen, if you think a man is ever going to understand how you feel, you may as well pick some other fantasy like flying to the moon or getting a set of wings or doing something like that. Just two different fantasies.
Well, you know what? You know, going back to the original topic of after 40, you know what? I hear you on the point of, okay, mothers didn't raise you that way. But you know what? It comes a certain point through experience in your life. If you had some troubled relationships, that you take the time, guy, to say that, okay, what happened? What was my responsibility in this, in the breakup of this relationship? What part did I hold? And the woman holds a part too. But I'm just saying, as two people in a relationship and it went sour, that the person who really wants a relationship that's going to work is going to stop and say, okay, what was my part in this relationship? What common denominator happened in my last few relationships that I can see was my responsibility? So you can't keep blaming mama for the way she raised you. At some point in time, you have to take responsibility for your life and say, what am I doing?
Please let me respond to that. First, I do take responsibility for my life, totally. But let me say this. What she just said is the perfect example of how how women think men look at a situation, how men evaluate past relationships, how they think a man is going to do it like a woman does. Why do you think all the relationship books and stuff like that are for, most of them are for women? It is not a man's nature. A man is not going to get into all of that stuff, examine his emotions and do all this stuff like that and introspect in that stuff. He doesn't. He's not an emotional gymnast like you are. It's not his. He's not. So if you think a man is going to do all that, and if you think this culture expects a man to do all that and supports all that and rewards a man for doing all that, you know, again, that's expecting a man to process stuff emotionally, process the breakup of a relationship the way a woman would. That's why my thing for guys is Dr. Mumbo Jumbo's How to Date Your Dream Girl quick reference guide for guys that don't read manuals. Guys aren't going to spend the time. We're just not because we don't. It's not our forte. It's not thing. So we're more action oriented. So we want, if you tell us what to do differently, that's cool. If you try to get us to say what to feel differently, and that's why I coach women. I say, look, don't tell the guy what you want to feel. If you're communicating to a guy, just tell him what you want him to do that makes you feel the way you want to feel. Because he can, if you tell him what to do, if you ask him to do stuff for you, he can do that. If you ask him to understand your emotions, then you've gotten him in a space where he doesn't have a clue.
he up a river out of paddle.
Why ain't you on TV? Why don't you have your show? Because this is some very interesting information, and the public needs to hear this because it would enlighten. Maybe that's what the key is to get relationships together, is to hear you speak and discuss how we function, because a lot of people don't take that into consideration, that we're different. And that's why I guess I never read the book, but Men Are from Mars, Women Are from Venus? I never read it. Yeah, I'm assuming it's because we're so different, and we're even to the fact wired different, as you say. So this is
it's beyond just us. That's why, to me, one of the most destructive doctrines in this whole culture, this whole Western mainstream culture, is a doctrine of sameness. We are not all the same. Sameness does not exist in nature.
You're right. Not in nature.
It doesn't exist. You can't find a snowflake that's the same. You can't find a raindrop that's the same. And you certainly can't find two different sexes of a species that are the same. And even people talk about there's no differences in people that are different colors and skin. That's a lie. We are different. We have different functions in the ecosystem of nature and existence. And when we understand that and we get back into that, we flow in harmony and stuff like that. And we can sort of rise back to our optimum level on a lot of things. And that's what we as a people, as a culture, have to learn to do. But it starts with the relationships.
What I would like to add to that is, and it's similar, if anybody can understand the concept of an orchestra, a viol does not try to be a violin, does it try to be a timpani, nor does it try to be a trumpet or a trombone. It is its uniqueness, but its uniqueness when applied in the scheme of that work that they're performing comes out with an unbelievable sound and a harmony. And that's something
exactly.
that we can get from music if we understand the whole concept that everything doesn't have, you don't want to be the same. I don't want
right.
you to be, I don't want the trumpet to be the timpani, to be the snare, to be the cymbal. I don't want that. It messes up the whole work. You know what I'm saying? It won't work if it was like that. And I think that that's the biggest issue that you're right. I think that's one of the biggest issues of being the sameness. It's not sameness. It's understanding uniqueness and understand how it works in orchestra, in concert.
In harmony. Yeah.
In harmony. To it resonates. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, I always say this, Doc, you know, I heard this caller from the 612 mention it. Yeah, you know, you need to be out there doing this, bro. I mean, I always wanted you to get on the show. We had you on the one show when we had Brother Hassani on and Brother Will on, but I think that you need to be doing this more, bro. I know you do, because, I mean, we, like I said, we talk about these things, and I never can explain what you say the way you can explain it, so I don't even try. I would just want to point them to the document that, you know, that they can see or they can read. But I know it, this thing is not easy, and this goes back to the topic of the show. The reality is that we have so many people that are not in relationships or seeking relationships because there is some reason, whether it's your reason, Doc, or some other person's reason, there is a reason why we're having a hard time staying together. There is a reason. And the reason I wanted to do this show is because just to discuss and see what other people are thinking about why we're in a predicament we're in. Because like I said, you would be surprised if you ever go on a dating site to see if you do a query for 45 and up and see how many people pop up. That'll let you know folks are out here looking, trying to connect, because they know that there's some reason to want to connect to that other person. You know what I'm saying? But it's not working for them. As I always say, how's that working for you? It ain't working for you. It's not working for you, but at the same time, this is one thing I know. We won't stop. Most of us won't stop. You have some people I heard that say they quit. But most of us don't quit.
They quit verbally but not mentally because it's
not in their heart.
You're not going to quit mentally. You're not going to quit physically.
What
Bobby
Caldwell
say?
What Bobby Caldwell say?
Be compatible with somebody.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Like Bobby Caldwell says, what you won't do for love. You try everything but you won't give up.
There you go.
Come on, Bobby. You know what? If you say that, you know that you got to be over 40 to know that. Nobody know that song. Hey, brother, nobody know that song. Otis might know that song because his mama played it all the time. His brother played it. His sister played it. I played it.
I do a nice acoustic arrangement of that. That's one of my favorite little acoustic ones to do.
Oh yeah, I forgot. Hey y'all, hey, this boy's a good. He didn't ever talk about it, but my brother here is one. He's an unbelievable guitarist. Like I said, the reason I know B is because we used to play in church together.
Yeah.
You see, but yeah, B can play. He got some nice jazz type. I mean, some nice stuff he does. You know what I'm saying? And Dr. Mumbo Jumbo, as it is. I mean, that's his name when he's doing what he does, but he's also known as Byron Lanier. And Byron Lanier is an unbelievable musician. Yeah, I got to check him out on Facebook. He's on Facebook and everything. Byron Lanier. All right, just want to pick a plug out for him and Dr. Mumbo Jumbo, you know. And Dr. Mumbo Jumbo is one of his manifestations, and Dr. Mumbo Jumbo has a lot of Mumbo jumbo. You know, a lot of mumbo jumbo.
Do me a favor real quick.
Deep mumbo jumbo.
Hey, Medina, B, break down, because I know a lot of people don't understand. What is mumbo jumbo anyway?
Mumbo jumbo is the stuff that stuff is made of.
Uh-oh, that sounds like Bone Jovi right there.
When you break everything down, you keep decomposing everything down, mm-hmm. you get down to the essence of it. I'm talking about past the molecular, subatomic level. You'll find that it's just a string of light, which is arranged in numeric patterns. And they call that the quark mechanism, and that's his mumbo-jumbo. Now, that's from a sense of nature. From a social standpoint, from a nurture standpoint, mumbo-jumbo is the stuff people believe, say they believe, and think that they want you to believe and think. So everybody has their mumbo-jumbo. Everybody has their mumbo-jumbo about why things are the way they are, what you should believe, and why you should believe it. And the thing is that everybody just has their perspective. They just have a sliver of the truth. And that's just their mumbo-jumbo. And it's like, I can break it down even further from a philosophical or religion standpoint, the four principles you can identify any religion. You can identify any religion by these four questions. They all distinguish themselves. They all answer four questions. How did life begin? What's the purpose of life? What happens after physical death? And who's qualified to answer the first three questions? All of our conflict is question number four, who's qualified. The thing that we all have in common and the thing that's personal is that we all seek answers to those first three. And I don't care if you're Islamic, Buddhist, Hindu, Christian, Jew, don't nobody believe 100% of what's in the Quran or the Bible or the Torah. Nobody does. Everybody has their reasons that they leave out portions of it. And so that's why those first three questions are personal. That's just people's personal mumbo-jumbo. And again, mumbo-jumbo is just what's used to turn possibilities into reality. So mumbo-jumbo
is
actually the essence of creation. And of course, mumbo-jumbo don't stop.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to take this opportunity to throw my mumbo jumbo in to bring this mumbo jumbo to an end. First of all, I want to thank everybody that's been on this call. I mean, my brother Otis for calling in. Of course, brother Mumbo B1, Byron Lanier for bringing his A. Beautiful. I love it. It's been beautiful, brother, breaking bread with you. I love it. I got my sister from the 612 and all my sisters from the 312 and my sister Gigi from 832. We thank all of you all for calling in to the Bree Life Radio Network. And like I said, tomorrow, if you choose to tune in, we come on at the same time, 8 o'clock p.m. East Central and 9 p.m. Eastern. And that's our Freestyle Thursday where we basically take on whatever topics you want to take on and we talk about. So that means that we got a lot of mumble jumble on that day. In any case, this has been Mark Said It on the Bree Life Radio Network. And I want everybody to inhale and breathe life. You've been on the Bree Life Radio Show.
Good night.
100.
Yeah. A-Dream in the building. Shout out to Bree.
What up, Bree?
And we're going to go in. Look.
Yes, sir.
Look. We came to break down a few topics here. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. It's positive, uplifting, and honest here. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn in the building. All the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging that gold, so if you ain't fragile, through the net connection, we streaming you to Mexico. So welcome to the life.